Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
The day is coming soon, I am confident, when justice will be served.
And I want you guys to know that he will stand up for any injustice everywhere.
We should want the White House to be opened up.
You can work to protect folks, and you can also work to put people back to work.
She emails herself and writes this memo, which in the annals of government is one of the funniest damn memos you'll ever read.
I don't think anybody in private ever disagrees with me when I say it's bullshit the way people grandstand for cameras in here.
That is a commentary about people in the Senate when the cameras turned on them. That's pretty funny because we know it's true. Happy Friday morning. Glad everyone's with us this morning. And, another night down, and we're happy to report that most of the protests in the greater St. Louis area, at least, were peaceful last night.
Yes.
There's a little compare and contrast going on out there, which I'll point out. I am thrilled that there was a march yesterday for David Dorn. Captain Dorn, sure, who was murdered at Lee's Pawn Shop while trying to stop looters. I'm saddened by the fact that, including his immediate family, there were only about 80 to maybe 100 people who joined in that march. Meanwhile, at the Brentwood Promenade, there was a crowd in the thousands. They think maybe there was 1,500 people who gathered over there. I'd like to have seen an equal number of people outraged over what happened to David Dorn. We haven't seen that yet, but it did happen. At least there was a march yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's a good sign. So that's kind of where we are this morning. Yeah. How are you two doing?
Good. We made it
pretty
to Friday.
Good. Yeah. We're glad it's Friday. It's been a long week.
This may have been the longest week of 2020.
Yeah. It's been a long one.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough to watch. Last night the new St. Louis County Police Chief spoke out about what's going on and how her St. Louis County officers are dealing with all of this. Again, contrast with how they've dealt with it in the city, I believe. But she pointed out that her officers are hanging in there pretty well, Chief Mary Barton, but that she's going to allow them to defend themselves. That's good. There was some peace in New York City last night.
That's good news.
And do you know why?
Why?
Because the police were out in force making it clear to the criminals that they weren't going to allow them to continue looting and pillaging businesses. It's all any of us have ever been about is a little bit of law and order. That's all. you won't find a stronger opponent, a proponent, I should say, of the First Amendment than us. Than the president. But you also can't let society devolve into anarchy. I had an interesting conversation. For those of you who were up this early, if you were listening to the Glover Show yesterday, they called me and asked me to be on the Glover Show with Keith Antone in a mini think tank is how they referred to it. And that was kind of, it was tough for a couple of reasons. Number one, I wasn't in the studio with Antone where you could lay eyes on each other and have a conversation. And number two, we didn't have enough time. And number three, I got filibustered. Can you believe that? I just want you to think about that. I got filibustered.
Okay.
I could barely get in a word in edgewise.
So Keith was very passionate.
He was. I called him up afterwards and I'm like, you filibustered me. He goes, I've been on your show enough. He said, I've been on your show enough to know that that was my only chance. And I'm like, well, I can accept that. It was great getting on there with him. He's very passionate. He wanted to talk a lot about Tucker Carlson. He saw the soundbite I put up with Tucker Carlson the other night. Where Tucker talked about the FBI uniform crime statistics on violence by police, deadly violence against people who are unarmed. And he broke it down by race. And he simply used those facts to point out that while it's always alarming when somebody who's unarmed is killed by a police officer, when you break it down case by case, it's not the genocide, the I'm afraid to go outside or I'm going to get killed kind of statistic. It's just not. It's just not. Tucker made that point very clearly. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but that's the situation we're in. And that's where the conversation needs to, that's why the conversation needs to settle down and look at the numbers and work on fixing it and not do things like, see what the mayor of LA did, Gil Garcetti. This guy, he used to be like the prosecuting attorney for LA, and then he became the mayor. This radical left winger has adopted the gut the police department suggestion. He's going to take $150 million. Out of the police department budget in Los Angeles and just spend it on whatever these protesters want him to, basically. He's just completely caved when it comes to the issue of common sense.
How does taking away funding for police departments help the situation that we're in?
It's like a punishment.
Well, it seems antithetical because you'd want to give police more resources for further training and further community relations and things that would in the overall scheme of progress as a nation, you'd want them to have the tools necessary, the body cameras, it's completely antithetical to
and them progress. Defunding the police. It scares me.
Absolutely.
Well, bring it back home. Look at St. Louis. St. Louis is down. What, 100 officers, maybe?
Yeah, it's hard enough to get people to become police officers. Now you're going to take away, I don't know. Seems a scary road to go down to start taking away funding.
Well, and we had one of the protesters call in the other day, and he hit the nail on the head. He was like, hey, you can't expect these guys. He's like, I drive a trash truck for a living, and I make $70,000. He's like, those officers aren't even making close to that, and they're risking their lives every day. Mm-hmm. He's like, you can't expect to have you can't expect higher standards from people and then pay them less. That's just not how the world works.
That's a great point. I can't wait to get Jeff Ward on here a little later. He has called for a vote of no confidence on the police chief in the city. Says the officers down there don't have confidence that he's doing what needs to be done to prepare for these riots. Needless to say, and that you know, moving forward, they think they need new leadership. Now, he took some heat for that yesterday, but, you know, Jeff's not afraid of stepping into the fire. Can we put it that way? And we're going to get him on here a little later to talk about that. I can tell you what, let's get to your phone calls real quick. 314-241-9797. Any thoughts on the march that was held yesterday, finally, for deceased police captain David Dorn, who was killed at Lee's Pawn and Jewelry, contrasted with what happened over in Brentwood? I'd love to know your thoughts on that. We will get to your phone calls coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
How does everybody seem to be holding up? I know there's been a few officers who've been hit with fireworks and bricks.
They're holding up, I would say, fairly well. There's plans in place. There's protocols we've come up with. So our response is going to allow for officers to defend themselves when violently encountered.
St. Louis County's new police chief, Mary Barton, there. We're going to have to get her on the show. I hear good things about her from the police officers who I know. And boy, talk about just waking up one day and getting a promotion and stepping right into the middle of a complete crap show. Huh? I mean, honestly, that is, you know, Tim Fitch left
the county police chief's job and Belmar took over, and it was just, I believe, just a matter of like a month or two before Ferguson happened. So Chief Belmar had pretty much the same experience that Mary Barton is having right now. I mean, I'm sure she's well equipped for it. She's been
She's
a longtime veteran of the county police department, and I really think that from what I pick up on, a lot of these officers were happy that somebody was promoted from within, who is pretty well thought of within the ranks. Because I truly believed after the complete disaster that has become the St. Louis County Police Board, for purely politically correct reasons, and Sam Page bears the brunt of the blame for that, that they would immediately default to somebody outside of the department for these so-called reforms that they demand. You know, but instead you've got Mary Barton in there, and these officers know her and they trust her. And it sounds to me like there's some common sense being applied. So I'm happy for our officers. You know, so we're live on Facebook this morning, by the way. Mm-hmm. You go to the Mark Cox Show on Facebook and you can like the page. And whenever the show goes live, you'll get a notification. So somebody commented, we brought this up yesterday. I forget who the soundbite was from. Was it Tucker Carlson? Somebody asked this question. Who in their right mind would want to go into police work right now?
Yeah, that was Tucker.
Yeah.
I think 2 days ago, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was. And you know, it's a great thought. Somebody commented on Facebook here a minute ago that their child was about to graduate from a police academy and start out, I believe, out in St. Charles County somewhere at about $58,000 a year. That's probably right at or just above where they start out in St. Louis County, something like that.
You know, and there's, it's a graduated scale. So 20 years from now, you're making more than that, obviously. But I don't know, at the end of the day, to stand up and take the kind of abuse, to be blamed as being guilty of for something a rogue officer did in Minneapolis, the statistics don't support that there's anywhere near the problem that is claimed, and yet you're expected to go out and get yelled at and, you know, have F-bombs dropped on you, as I'm told happened last night from a few of the people who gathered in Brentwood toward the police. There was no violence, but there was a negative attitude in the crowd against some of the police officers who were there. We're going to get Rafael Mangual on here at about 6:20. It's with the Manhattan Institute. Have you heard of Heather MacDonald? This guy works with her, and I can't wait to get him on the radio to tell the truth about crime statistics and the police. Got that coming up about 6:20. We'll be right back.
Getting people back to work is important. Continuing to focus on safety. You know, we've done even more with long-term care facilities as this has gone on. That was one of our focuses from the beginning. I think that was the right focus. And I think as people look back, they wish other states had done what we had done. But we're continuing to do a lot of that and even adding more to it. And so they really go hand in hand. You can work to protect folks, and you can also work to put people back to work.
Thank you, Ron DeSantis. If you want to see numbers that are shocking in the contrast, compare the number of COVID hospitalizations, positive cases, and deaths in the state of Florida, a state where the term blue hair has been used for many, many years, where a lot of people who are retired go to Florida, right? In other words, the elderly population is huge in Florida. COVID should have effectively wiped out most of the state of Florida if you follow the thinking of Dr. Fauci and some others. We know they're the most high-risk group. When you look at what Florida did, how they handled this, and compare it with New York, for example, Chicago, for it, Detroit, it's a disaster the way it was handled in some states. Ron DeSantis is absolutely right to kind of thumb his nose at him and say, some other states wish they'd handled it the way we did. Remember how they ostracized him for daring to reopen the beaches in Florida?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, folks, I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, but he did point out that they used a lot of their resources for nursing homes. He said, we did a good job of prioritizing the resources we were given and like aiding and protecting the most vulnerable people. That was part of the lead up to that. So good for them. That's great.
Yeah, I was glad to hear that. They did do that, though. Now, one thing we're going to talk about on the show this morning, I got a great lineup for you today. Thank you to Tricia for helping coordinate this as usual. We're going to get Senator Andrew Koenig on here at about 8:20. He is one of the members of the conservative coalition down in Jeff City. And he's going to call in to talk to us about the mail-in balloting that was signed by Governor Parson yesterday. It's now a thing.
It is.
And you know, we had Governor Parson on here. He defended it. He said that at the time he hadn't made his mind up yet, but what they were afraid of is that if they didn't do something to offer people an alternative, that the courts would act, because he knew that some of these groups were going to rush to court in an attempt to get to get some version of extended mail-in voting. I don't think it was necessary. The governor seems to think that it was. But given what we've seen with the complete abandonment of social distancing requirements in the middle of these protests, given what we've seen with the fact that, you know, people's hair caught on fire after a couple hundred people crawled into a pool at the Lake of the Ozarks, and yet we don't have one single confirmed case of COVID spreading as a result of that. Was it really necessary? If 1,500 people can gather at the Brentwood Promenade last night to hold a moment of silence in honor of George Floyd and get together and chant Kumbaya and hold hands and kneel in front of the police and all that other stuff, you can also go to the voting booth. Guess what? Shocker. You don't have an excuse not to go to the voting booth. If you can go buy hardware, if you can go buy toilet paper, you can go out to eat, you can go to the voting booth.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the voting booth the other day. I voted. I was proud to vote.
Yeah.
For the mayoral election and a councilman election here in my city in Wildwood. It was fine. They had a moderate turnout. I mean, it was a special election. The date had been moved. I'm sure they didn't get the turnout they wanted. But you could safely turn out and vote. There was hand sanitizer there. Imagine that. It was shocking. People were wearing masks. It was fine. Anyway. I just want to throw that out there. I think it's odd. So we'll have that conversation coming up with Senator Andrew Koenig a little later. Let me get to the phones here real quick. Paul has been holding on line one. Paul, good morning.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. I've been
concerned about this law enforcement issue myself lately because, you know, all the abuse, it's not just the physical attacks that the police have to go. Their own bosses, their own organizations are keeping their hands tied behind their back. Their jobs are becoming extremely unsafe. And all the abuse, nobody backs them up. I mean, look, they absolutely destroyed Darren Wilson's career, Shockley's career. I mean, the bottom line is law enforcement is going to end up having to lower their standards to hire cops, which is going to bring in more bad cops. I'm under the belief that 99.9% of all cops are good, hardworking, very dedicated, will go overboard to protect us. And I just see that coming down, and that's going to make you and me and everyone else less safe, and that's going to be a huge problem. And I'm worried about it. So
you should be, Paul. And thank you for the phone call. Hey, listen in a little later around 7:35 when Jeff Rohrt is on here.
Okay.
He issued a statement about their lack of confidence in the St. Louis City Police Chief, John Hayden. I've met John, had him on the show. Seems like a nice guy. He's been around for a long time. But the letter specifically addresses the fact that he was completely unprepared, according to them, completely unprepared his police officers and department until he was brought kicking and screaming into the conversation about how to prepare for the upcoming riots, because people knew there would be violence. There's still a little bit of PTSD in the upper echelons of the St. Louis Police Department because of the politics of the Stockley verdict and what happened afterwards. The complaints of so-called kettling, which has been given a really bad name, but it's just crowd control. When a crowd gets out of control and attacks the police, it's a method of controlling an out-of-control crowd, not peaceful protesters. But if you choose to protest in the middle of a riot, don't be surprised if you get yourself caught up in it. So that was one of the complaints against him. And I'll let Jeff spell it out, but I read the letter, and it just said that, you know, normally they would sit down and have a strategy and rules of engagement, and here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to deploy our SWAT team and our special logistics team. And he hadn't done any of that. Now, was that willful? Was that pressure on him not to do that? I don't know. I'll let Jeff Rohrt explain it about 7:35. Of course, he represents the St. Louis Police Officers Association. So stay tuned for that. Let me get to line three with Justin. Justin, good morning.
Justin's not there anymore.
Oh, Justin gave up on us. Justin was a veteran himself who was calling in about the fact that he was concerned about a lack of training for police. And I don't know if it was a lack of training in crowd control or in interaction with the public. I found it an interesting note here from someone who messaged me and wants to remain anonymous about some activist over at Washington University who has been trying to organize physicians into some sort of a protest today. I'm going to read you a little bit of this press release that they issued with interdepartmental note that was put out about this whole thing, which is going to play into my interview at 6:20 with Rafael Mangual, because he works for the Manhattan Institute. He's an attorney, and I'm anxious to hear his thoughts on this. If you know Heather MacDonald, you know she wrote a book called The War on Cops. And she single-handedly, and I'm sure Rafael will too, she dismantles the argument that police violence against citizens is some sort of an epidemic by simply comparing what we know about what was happening in, I don't know, 1970 compared to today, or 1980 or 1990 or 2000. If you simply look at the statistics, the amount of violence against individuals is insignificant today compared to what it used to be based on reforms within the policing. And yet we're told that people are afraid to walk out their door for fear of getting killed by the police. It's just not true. So we'll get Rafael Mangual on here in a few minutes. And I'll tell you more about this internal memo from WashU when we come back. 314-241-9797.
Who wanted to give people a safe space to loot and to burn. Right now in Missouri, if you loot, the only safe space you're going to have is in a jail cell.
Aha. Governor Eric Greitens there, former Governor Greitens, I should say. There is a new documentary out on the corrupt political takedown of Governor Eric Greitens. I put a link to it up there on our Facebook page if you want to take a look at it. Maybe this is about 12 minutes long. Maybe gives you a little more insight into some of the things we've talked about on the show. But there's, you know, you saw the difference between Jay Nixon's approach to rioting and what Eric Greitens did when he came in. You know, I think Governor Parsons made the National Guard available and all of that. I don't know if he's been as visible through some of what we've seen the last few days as Governor Greitens was. So I just wanted to throw that out there. That video's out there. It's on linked up on my Facebook page if you want to take a look at it. I just saw that story yesterday, in fact. You know, I mentioned a minute ago that there's going to be a march today held by a bunch of doctors from Barnes Jewish Washington University. There was an internal email sent out that's been shared with me to the Department of Anesthesiology at Washington University School of Medicine. And it comes from apparently the chancellor of Washington University, and basically talks about the fact that there are two deadly viruses killing Americans, COVID-19 and racism. That's fascinating to me that you would make that comparison. Any death related to anything other than natural causes can be a tragedy. I don't doubt that for a minute. But what do we know about the mortality rate of COVID-19? You're defeating your own argument if you're trying to tell me that the mortality rate of racism is the same as the mortality rate of COVID-19. Do you see where I'm? If 0.04% roughly is considered to be the mortality rate of people who get COVID-19, then that means obviously 99.998% of people don't die from it. So today, some doctors from WashU are apparently planning on a protest. And they announced it internally, but it's happening this afternoon. Let me see if I can find the details again. It's called White Coats for Black Lives. And they're going to be out in Forest Park today from 11:30 to 12:15. Apparently, it's a very brief gathering on Kings Highway on the eastern edge of Forest Park. And here's
the difference between the general protest that we've seen and this one. Here's the lead sentence in the press release announcing today's gathering. Number one, wear a mask. Number two, remain 6 feet apart. Finally, you get down to number four, bring a sign with big letters that say White Coats for Black Lives and racism is a public health crisis. Just wanted you to know that was going on today. Thought that was an interesting point of view on that. Quick break. Back in a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.